take Joshua chapter 7 in your Bibles tonight. Man, I got to tell you, I'm excited for you guys going to camp. And I don't get to go, but I just get excited about thinking about you guys going. I have wonderful memories going to camp. Not all of them are wonderful, based on some of the jokes that were played on me as a 7th grader when I went to camp, but most of them are wonderful. And I think back to camp as a really, in fact, Brother Jeremy and I went to camp together. And in fact, Brother Jeremy was the one playing the jokes on me when I was in 7th grade. No. I got to drive a couple years ago. In fact, I drove several times for camp. And a lot of people say, oh, Brother Brandon, you got to drive for the trip. And I'd be like, yeah. But deep inside, I was like, yes, I get to go to the Bill Race Ranch again. This was really awesome, you know. And get to have, I love the Bosco sticks. I mean, like the Bosco sticks. And I remember one year we went there. And like there was like this there's a famine of Bosco sticks, like they couldn't get them for some reason. And I got to tell you, I was like highly depressed about them not having any Bosco sticks. So please eat some Bosco sticks for me, okay? Don't bring me back. I don't need to eat them anymore. But please eat them for me, okay? You know, I remember. Everybody, let me have your attention now, okay? As we get into the Word of God, let's give our attention to the Word of God this evening. And you know, I remember getting ready for camp. And I don't know if your moms is this way, but I can always remember my mom. Okay, now when you go to camp, make sure that you brush your teeth every night and make sure that you wash behind your ears. I don't know what washing behind your ears does. There's probably other places you want to make sure you wash too, but she always mentioned washing behind my ears, you know? And I just remember all these things that she went through, you know, make sure that you take a shower and make sure that you change your clothes and all these different things. Make sure you don't lose anything, because I remember one year I left my whole suitcase at camp. I don't know how I did that. Left all my clothes that I owned at camp. And so please don't do that, sons. It was a really exciting time, but my mom, she always liked to prepare me. And you know what? If I didn't do some of the things that mom told me to do, she would know about it. You say, how would she know about it? I'm going to let you in on a secret. Moms are superheroes. I'm telling you, moms know everything. I mean, I could come into the house, and we had a rule about not wearing shoes, and come to the house, take the shoes off, and I could come in as quiet as I could. I mean, I'd close the door as quiet as I could, and I wouldn't take my shoes off, and I'd take like one step, and all of a sudden, she'd be in the other side of the house. Like, she couldn't see me. How did she even know I came to the house? We didn't have like a security thing that said door open or anything like that. I would take one step, and she'd go, take your shoes off. I'm like, how does she know this? Does she have security cameras around? I don't understand. But moms are like superheroes. They know everything. And, you know, it's like the old illustration of the cookie in the jar in the kitchen. You know, you go to get the cookie out of there, and all of a sudden, mom's got her back turned, but she's got eyes in the back of her head, man. She's like LeBron James. She can pass to anybody, look everywhere. But you know what? I remember my mom. It seemed like she knew everything about me. You know, I come home sometimes and I have a big smile on my face and I would act like I was happy, but deep down inside I was sad. And I mean, I could act as happy as I wanted to and mom would come up to me and say, what's wrong? I mean, I have this big smile across. What do you mean, what's wrong? What's wrong? I know something's wrong. And she would know. She would know there was something wrong. You know, I'm not saying that moms really know everything. They do know us very well. But there is someone that knows us perfectly. And as you get ready to go to camp, there are some things that God knows about each one of you that you may not know about yourselves. Some things that maybe you need God to reveal about yourself to you. God knows us better than we could ever hope to know ourselves. And as you go to camp, there are some important things that God may reveal to you this summer. And God knows me perfectly. God sees me. Even when other people don't understand what's going on in my life, even when other people don't see me, God sees me and God knows me. Well, in Joshua chapter 6, Israel had just won a tremendous battle. It was one of the greatest victories they'd ever had. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and it was an amazing victory for Israel. And just before they entered the city, I want you to notice in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 6, the command that God gave. It says there in verse 17 of Joshua 6, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. And that's a whole other story, but that's a great story about Rahab and how God saved her and her faith and the Lord. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves, notice, from the accursed thing. Lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. See, God had commanded Israel not to take anything from Jericho. But I want you to notice the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Notice how it said the children of Israel, but notice the next phrase. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now tonight I want to bring a short devotional thought, a short message entitled, There's Sin in the Camp. And you know, part of the reason we go to camp is to get certain things out of our life. It's to get rid of sin out of our life. Because young people, whether you realize it or not, one of the most destructive things in your life is sin. And we're going to see that tonight. And I want us to see three quick lessons that we can learn from Achan's mistakes, excuse me, so that we can keep sin out of the camp. Notice lesson number one, really simple lessons that I hope you'll remember. Lesson number one is don't take. Can you say that with me tonight? Don't take. A little bit louder, try it again. Here we go. Don't take. That's lesson number one. Look at verse one there. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan took of the accursed thing. You know, just as God had commanded Israel not to take certain things, God's commanded us not to take certain things. You know, it could be taking into your life the wrong kind of friends, hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so there are certain people, God says, I want you to be careful about the friends, the influences that you have in your life. Now, friends are important, and all of us need friends. And I'm so thankful that the Bible says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than their brother, talking about Jesus Christ. And tonight, if Jesus Christ isn't your best friend, let me tell you, you're missing out on true friendship. When other people don't understand what you're going through, they don't understand exactly what may be going on in your lives, Jesus Christ understands. When you're lonely, maybe, and no one else is around, Jesus Christ is with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What a great friend we have in Jesus Christ. But you know, sometimes we take the wrong friends into our life. Sometimes we take the wrong music. Sometimes we take the wrong videos, DVDs and Blu-rays and movies and TV. Sometimes the wrong YouTube videos or a certain internet site or a certain app that we shouldn't be getting on. And we take these things into our life and God says, don't take those things. They're going to be destructive to you. They're going to not help you. They're going to hurt your life. And just like Achan took of the accursed things, sometimes all of us at times have been guilty of taking things into our lives that are very damaging and very hurtful. I remember a couple in college. Their name was Brian and Julia, and they started dating, and that was a good thing. But when you get to college, it's probably a good thing. You start dating in college and trying to, you know, find the person maybe God would have for you. And I remember they started dating, not a bad thing, but they, as they started dating, I could tell there was something not quite right there. And notice they would sneak off campus some, and they were sort of disobeying the rules in different ways. Well, it came out eventually that they had been making physical contact and holding hands, doing different things that weren't allowed for the college. And, you know, someone said, oh, come on, they're just holding hands. That's not a big deal. You know, God wants us to be careful not to take things that aren't right for us to take at that point in our life. And you know, they took something a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, eventually they got in trouble some, and eventually it came out that she'd gotten pregnant. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, sometimes we take little things into our life not realizing where those things will lead, what kind of consequences those things will have. I'm sure in their mind they might have thought, oh, it's just a little holding of the hands. Oh, it's just a little kiss. But those things led to something that was very damaging in their lives. Later on, I heard they were married, and they were off had their own place to live, and I heard about one day that the dad had gotten really upset, and the mom had gotten really upset, and they were lost their temper. And you know, maybe someone says, "Well, it's just I just got a little bit angry," but a little bit angry led to getting a lot angry, and a little thing in their life, just like in college, led to something bigger, and they abused their child, and their child got taken away, and they got put in jail. So I said, "Oh, it's just I just get a little bit angry every once in a while." Well, you know, a little bit of anger can lead to something very damaging. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, if you're angry in your heart toward someone else, if you have anger in your heart toward your brother, that's just as bad as someone who would go out and murder someone. Why? Because that's the little seed that can blossom into that wicked sin. What is it in your life that you've taken in? Oh, it's just a little bit of bad music. Oh, it's just, I know he's not exactly the type friend I should have. Just a little friendship. It's just a little look at this. It's a little that. And these are the things that Satan subtly is planting into your life, hoping that eventually he can destroy you. Because the Bible says that Satan's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, a roaring lion doesn't announce to you that he's coming to you. He sneaks up on you. Brother Jeremy, I'm sure, knows well, living in Africa, and Pastor just went on the safari. He knows, they know very well what it's like, the way that an animal like that comes and sneaks up on its prey. Satan's not out here saying, "Hey, come do this wicked thing." No, he's just sneaking little things in here and there. And we think, "Oh, this little bit of little lie will be okay, or this little thought will be okay, or this little thing that I look at will be okay." And slowly but surely, he's putting seeds of destruction into our life. The Bible says if we sow to our flesh, that will reap destruction. I think Achan in this passage probably thought, "Oh, it's just a little bit of gold. Oh, it won't hurt. Maybe it's just a little garment." And I'm sure as he went into the house, he thought, "Who's going to know?" God knows. God sees. I think Eve probably thought, "Oh, it's just a little bite. What did that do? Sent mankind into a spiral of sin and destruction." I think David probably thought, "Oh, it's just a little glance at Bathsheba. How'd that turn out?" I think probably Lot thought, "Well, I'll just look back one more time. How'd that go for her, young people? A little look." I think about Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. "Well, just keep back a little bit of the money. Did that go well for them?" Young people, tonight, if you're here and you're taking little bits of this and that, I don't know, there may be some here, you're past that. And you're starting to take things into your life, you know, in great quantities that are going to bring destruction. I want you to understand, God's commanded us not to take certain things, but notice there's a progression to sin. There's a progression. And we have to be careful when it comes to, to certain things in our life, that we have warning signs. We have things that in people and friends and accountability, that when something starts to happen in our life, someone helps us do what's right. Now listen, if someone comes and they confront you about something, maybe it's a good friend, or maybe it's Brother Scott or Miss Christine or one of the youth workers. Maybe it's a teacher, or maybe it's a parent. Understand, when they come to you to talk to you about something that they see in your life, it's not because they hate you. It's not because they want to make your life miserable. Listen to me. Listen, young people. It's because they love you. And they know these things will be destructive in your life. You know, I've been a teacher. I'm a parent. I'm a pastor. I'll just be honest with you. It's much easier for me not to say something to someone when I see them doing what's wrong. I don't like to go up to someone and confront them about doing something that's wrong. I don't think anybody of us enjoys that. And yet, because I love somebody, I have to go tell them and help them out. If someone was heading toward a cliff and I knew that that cliff was there, and they were heading, sprinting toward that cliff, if I just stood by, I know it takes time, I know it takes energy to go up and confront someone, but if I didn't say anything, and they go off that cliff, then what kind of person am I? Do I have the love of Christ in my life? Hey, listen, if someone approaches you to try to help you spiritually, listen to me, young person, it's because they love you. and they want to help you out. And I'm so thankful for how the Lord does that in our life. And how the Holy Spirit doesn't let me get away with things. And how He's constantly touching my heart and pricking my heart. You know, I haven't mentioned every sin here tonight, but you know, even now, maybe the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart about something that you've taken into your life. Well, if you're going to have a great time at camp, the first lesson you have to learn tonight is don't take. Say it with me. Don't take. Notice lesson number two here in our passage is God sees. Would you say that with me nice and loud? God sees. And we read here in verses 10 and 11 of Joshua chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now tonight, imagine if we could put up here on these screens. Imagine if your eyes were like a video camera. And your eyes could record the things that you see. And your ears were able to record the things that you hear. In fact, maybe we could even put on the screen here and hear your thoughts that you thought today. I wonder if we were able to put up the things that you looked at today and the things that you said and the things that you listened to and the things that you thought about. Hey, I wonder what it would be like. I wonder how long you would sit around to watch it with everybody else. Or would you have to get out of here pretty quickly? I remember Jesus Christ when the woman was caught in adultery and the men wanted to stone her. He began to write something saying, we don't know what that was. The Bible doesn't say. But I just happen to think that maybe as Jesus wrote there in the sand, maybe Jesus was writing some things that some of those guys had done. Maybe he wrote certain dates and they knew exactly what happened on a date. Maybe he wrote a certain person or a certain thing, or maybe he wrote down a particular sin. And one by one, those people began to take off. If we were able to put the things that you've done, maybe in secret, what would that be like for you? Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, one day everything will be revealed. And the fact of the matter is that it's already been seen. You may think no one else saw you when you were doing what you were doing. You may think that no one else was around. I'm sure Achan looked around and saw nobody else was there. But God was there. God sees. Mark 4 and verse 22 says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Psalm 44 and verse 21 says, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he had done, whether it be good or bad. And let me just talk about those two things for just a second before we move on to the next point. You see, first of all, God sees the bad things that you do. And how it must break His heart. When you think about the fact that one day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for everything that you've done. I thank God for forgiveness. I thank God that Jesus Christ washes our sins away. But one day the Bible says we're going to give an account for the good and bad that we did. I don't understand exactly what all that means. But I have a great respect for that verse and for that day that's coming. And I want to live my life in such a way that Jesus Christ will be pleased that day. Because in my mind's eye, I can just imagine seeing Jesus Christ standing there. There on the throne. And maybe we can see the scars that are in his head from that crown that was brought down him, brought down upon him. Maybe as he reaches his hand out, we'll see that scar in his hands where they nailed him to the cross. Maybe somehow we'll see that scar in his side. And what will I have that day to offer to Him? Will I have crowns that I can lay at His feet? Or will Jesus Christ maybe just give me a look and I'll know the disappointment because I decided to take certain things into my life? Maybe I wasn't remembering the fact that God sees me as I live my life. God sees the wrong things you do, but hey, I got to tell you something encouraging tonight, young people. God sees the good things that you do. God sees when you maybe come around the church and clean something up and nobody knows about it. God sees when you go up to that person who's new in the youth group and they're just visiting, and you go up and you make them feel welcome. Maybe nobody else notices that. But I can tell you what, that person notices it, and so does God. You know what the Bible says? Listen to this. Listen to this verse. A cold cup of water given in my name will not lose its reward. Think about that. How many of you have ever given a cold cup of water to someone? They have to raise your hand when they were thirsty. Maybe your mom or your dad or maybe a friend. Or something so simple, right? I mean, how hard is it to get a cold cup of water? And yet God says, that little simple act of goodness, I'm noticing it. I'm watching. And God, I think, is up in heaven, not waiting for us to do something wrong so He can judge us. I think He's up there in heaven waiting for us to do something right so He can bless us. So that He can pour down His blessings upon our life. And if God notices an insignificant cup of water, then I think He sees when we're faithful in our devotions. When we're obedient to our parents. I think if God notices that little cup of water, God notices when you go on visitation. God notices when you pray fervently in your room and you have your devotions. God notices when you greet that visitor. God notices when you hand out that tract, and He sees you when you're singing in choir, and He sees that you're doing it for the right motive. God sees you being faithful to church and being here Sunday morning and being here Sunday night, being here Wednesday, and when the youth group has activities, you're here. God sees all that. And I believe God is in heaven, and the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. I believe there are Christians, and God is cheering us on to do what is right. God doesn't just notice the bad things. He does. And we'll give an account. I'm so thankful tonight God notices the cold cup of water given in His name. Hey, tonight, just a simple question. How many cups of water have you been handing out lately? It doesn't have to be something comfortable. You say, Brother Brandon, I don't have great talents. I don't play the piano. And I know a lot of you do. I don't sing, but I can't get up and preach. I think probably a lot of you can do some of those things more than you might realize. But how hard is it to pass out a cold cup of water? And are you looking for opportunities to please and show Jesus Christ how much you love Him? Because God sees. Can you say that with me again tonight? God sees. So far we've seen, the first point was, don't take. The second point is, God sees. Hey, listen, if we're going to get sin out of the camp, we got to remember, don't take. We got to remember, God sees. And I want you to notice the third thing. Sin hurts. Sin hurts. Can you say that with me tonight? Sin hurts. Look at verses 22 through 26 of Joshua chapter 7 there. The Bible says, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And I can just imagine Achan probably had taken those things and he had hid them under his tent, thought nobody else was looking, and God brought them exactly to that place in verse 22 there. In verse 23, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, his family and him, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You know what I see in this last point, young people? Sin's not worth it. Oh, hear me good tonight. Sin is not worth it. Now, I know Satan does his absolute best to package sin up in such a beautiful looking thing, such an attractive thing. It might be an advertisement on television. It might be the world saying, oh, look at all that you're losing out on. Let me tell you, Satan's been around for a while and he's good at that. But it's all a bunch of empty, destructive lies. Let me tell you, if you're missing out on what the world has, then you're living a life that's more abundant in living. Because Jesus Christ said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let me tell you who's missing out. You're not missing out if you're doing right. They are. And Jesus Christ said, look, I can give you a life that's so full of joy and so full of peace. You know what I would hate for anyone here? I know you're young. I know that I'm talking to some 8th graders today, and I'm talking to some 9th graders and 7th graders, and I know I'm talking to some high schoolers. But you know, one day, if God tarries, and one day you get older, and you sit on your bed, and you've got gray hair like Brother Brandon's starting to get, and maybe you lose your hair like some people have happened, I won't mention anybody, and things happen as you get older, and you're sitting on your bed there, and you're looking back at your life. And you're thinking about what you did and maybe what you didn't do for God. Well, I would hate for one day for you to look back on your life and before you get ready to exit this life and into glory. I trust that you're saved. I trust you're ready to go to heaven. But what will be waiting for you there in heaven? Will there be crowns that you can lay at Jesus' feet? Or are you going to look back on your life and see a life of loss? A life that's full of sin that leads to emptiness. Not the joy and peace that God wants you to have. I think about Achan. I can promise you this. If Achan fully realized what was going to happen because of his sin, because he took, and because he forgot that God sees, if he would have realized the hurt that was going to take place because of his sin, I guarantee you Achan would have never done it. But sometimes young people, we forget, don't we? That sin hurts. Hebrews 11:25 says, there is pleasure in sin for a season. I'm not going to lie to you. There is quote unquote fun in sin for a season, the Bible says. But the Bible says after that, there's a judgment. And Numbers 32:23 also says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, it doesn't say there, notice, be sure your sin will be found out. Again, God sees. Your sin's already found out. But it says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know what the idea is there? That the sins that you commit, they will come back to haunt you. They will come back to hurt you. Three ways that sin hurts as we close tonight. Number one, sin hurts you. Look at verse 15. It says, and it shall be, the first part there, that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. See, when you allow sin into your life, there's always going to be a consequence to you. Now I know sometimes the way Satan tries to trick us is that he takes God's mercy and gets us to think that maybe there's no consequence for sin. You see, if you do something that's wrong, and maybe there's not a punishment right away for it, I'll tell you what that is. That's actually God's mercy. Because mercy is you not getting what you deserve. But the old devil is good at coming and tricking us into thinking that the mercy of God is really that God doesn't care. Oh, hear me tonight. God cares. God cares so much for you. If he cared so much to send his son to die on the cross for your sins and to save you from your sins, don't you think, like Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin any longer that grace may abound? God forbid. What, we're going to do something that, we're going to go back to doing things that were the reason why Jesus died on the cross for me? How could I do something like that? If God was so intent and had so much love for us that he sent his son to die for those sins, don't you think God realizes how hurtful those sins are to us? Now, if you're saved tonight, I'm thankful that you're saved from the harm and the hurt of hell. I'm thankful for that. And that's a great thing. That is the mercy of God. But young people, there are consequences on this earth when we choose to do things that are wrong as Christians. Sin will hurt you. Let me tell you some things that happen when you sin. If you're saved here tonight, then you've got the Spirit of God living in you. That's a great thing. The Spirit of God lives in our heart to help us do what's right. To let us know when we're not doing things that we, when we're doing things that we shouldn't, or we're not doing things that we should. And in that still small voice, he's a gentleman. He'll not force himself upon you. But in a very gracious way, he'll say, Brandon, don't do that. Please don't do that. That's going to hurt you. And the Holy Spirit will help us to do what's right. Sin will hurt you. Number two, sin will hurt others. You know, I think about the soldiers in verses 2 through 5. This was the greatest victory they had in chapter 6, the Battle of Jericho. This may have been the worst loss they ever had at the Battle of Ai. Because a small little city that they should have destroyed, they should have easily had victory over, 36 men came back, didn't come back that day, excuse me. You know what that means? Think about this. 36 fathers didn't come home to their families. 36 dads didn't come home to their wives. 36 to their kids. 36 husbands didn't come home to their wives. They didn't do anything wrong. But sin doesn't just hurt us. Sin hurts others. I think about Achan's family and all the possessions that he had. All of it was destroyed because of Achan's sin. Listen to me tonight. If you decide to do what's wrong and you take things into your life that you shouldn't, it's going to hurt your mom and dad. It's going to hurt your brothers and sisters. It's going to hurt your youth pastor and your youth workers and his wife. It's going to hurt people here at church that love you. It's going to hurt others. But the last thing I want to remind you about, sin will hurt you. Sin will hurt others. But maybe the worst thing is that sin hurts God. Sin hurts God's heart. It was the reason that Christ died on the cross. And today, if he loved you so much to give his only son for you, it only makes sense that we would live for him and do what's right. Now, camp is an awesome time. And I'm going to be praying for each one of you that God will give you a great time at camp. But can I tell you how camp can be a great time for you? It'll be great if you enjoy the sports and have a good time playing. It's going to be great if you have Bosco sticks and you eat a bunch of them. It'll be great. You might have a little indigestion, but it'll be great. You know what could be really great this year about camp? Is that you get the sin out. I got to tell you, to be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and know that there's nothing between you and your Savior. To have peace and to know that you're clean. That could be the greatest thing that you come back from camp with, to get the sin out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to have a come forward invitation, just going to have a raise of hands. I do think it's important for us to respond to God's word tonight. I wonder how many of you are here tonight. You'd say, Brother Brandon, pray for me. God has convicted me about some sin that I've taken into my life. God, show me that tonight. And maybe I haven't said exactly what it is, but the Spirit of God has. He's put his finger on it. And maybe tonight you'd say, Brother Brandon, pray for me. I don't want to be an Achan. I don't want to be the reason that maybe camp doesn't go real well for our youth group. I don't want to be the reason that maybe sin affects my brothers and sisters and my parents and my family. I want to get it out. And God's put it put his finger on it tonight, and I need to get rid of it. And you'd say, Brother Brandon, pray for me. God has already shown me some things that I need to get rid of. You'd raise your hand and say, pray for me. Amen. God bless you. You can put those hands down. Anybody else, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart right now about something I need to get rid of. Anybody else, you'd say, pray for me. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Second question. I wonder how many of you here would say, Brother Brandon, I realize that God sees. And I realize that he knows my heart. And God knows my heart tonight. I'm making a commitment to daily pray a prayer at camp like what David prayed. Where he said in Psalm 139:23, search me, O God. know my heart, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. In other words, you'd be praying each day at camp, Lord, show me any sin that's in my life. And God, if you show it to me, I will get it out of my life by God's grace. And you'd say, Brother Brandon, that's the commitment that I'm making tonight, that if God speaks to my heart in any area, in any way, I'm making a commitment tonight. God, if you show it to me, I'll get it out. With your help and by your grace, I'll get it out. How many of you raise your hand and say, that's my commitment. That's the prayer I'm going to make each day. And if God shows me those things, I'm making a promise to God right now. God, I will get it out. You know what? If that's true, all of you that have raised your hand, I can guarantee you this, you're going to have a great time this year at the Built Rice Ranch. Father, thank you so much for these young people in front of me. Lord, what potential. Lord, what exciting energy they have that they can use for you. And Lord, I pray that they would remember their Creator in the days of their youth. And remember, Lord, that if we're going to have a great camp, we can't take sin into our lives. If we're going to have a life that's full of joy and peace, we've got to remember that God sees. Lord, would you burn that thought into each one of their hearts and lives as they go about their business and even the days leading up to camp? Lord, remind them that you see them. And Lord, help them to remember that sin hurts. And Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hand. Some saying, I've seen some things already. Lord, help them tonight in this quietness of this moment as they confess those things to you. God, would you give them a renewed spirit of righteousness, Lord. Lord, may they enjoy laying their head on their pillow tonight, knowing that their heart is clean. And I pray for the others that raised their hand and said, Lord, I'm promising you, if you show me anything, I will get it out. Dear God, I'm praying you would reveal it all. And I pray for my friends here in front of me tonight, you would help them to follow true on their promise by your grace to get the sin in Jesus' name.